This episode of True and Travel Live is sponsored by Poddex. Poddex are a deck of cards that make your podcasting experience better and more professional. From interesting questions to episode topics to even games, Poddex make your life so much easier. Right now, you can also pick up the interview and episode deck as a bundle for $24.99. I want to thank Poddex for sponsoring the show. They're a great and easy tool to use for interviewing guests, and I even use the cards myself because the content in those cards are so good. Just remember to go to poddex.com and use the promo code TCLIVE at the checkout to get 10% off your first purchase. Again, poddex.com at checkout, use the promo code TCLIVE to get 10% off your first purchase. Thank you.
Back with a brand new episode of Trench Up Alive. The special guest, let me tell you about this guest today. He is a radio show host for the show Ya Tu Sabes, or as he screams into the mic, Ya Tu Sabes. Yeah, he's a good friend of mine. It is Mr. Jose Huerta. I hope I'm saying that right. Is I'm saying it right?
You are. The way people, you know, it's spelled, people first of all think it's with a W. It's H-U-E-R-T-A. It's Huerta.
Huerta.
So, excuse me, let me roll the R. It's Huerta.
Oh.
But the way I get people to say it is like, if somebody was wondering where you were at, they would say, where the hell have you been all day?
So I remember that. Where the hell have you been? All right.
There you go. Where
all right. Look at that. I'm just... Ya tu sabes. You already know.
Ya tu sabes.
So let me... I want to ask you about your show. First off, where can they find your show? Of course, let's ask that.
Good question. So I am on Fishbowl Radio Network, which is located at Globe Life Stadium in Arlington, Texas. I'm on every Monday and Wednesday night from 9 to 11 p.m. And it's just, you can go under FBR, www.fbrn.us. Under shows, you can find the Ya Tu Sabes, and you'll click on the link. And from there, you can listen in and stream live. Or also, you can go under my Facebook, it's called Jose Huerta, or you go to my Instagram, which is at Ya Tu Sabes Radio, and you can find me there as well.
Awesome, awesome. And so, I want to ask, what made you want to start, like, a radio podcast show? What made you want to start that?
So, I've always had a dream to be in radio, and I always tell the story that I was graduating high school, and my high school was preparing me for college. I was going to go to, which I did attend TCC in the Southeast campus in Arlington, which back then, this kind of tells a little bit about my age, but it was back then TCJC, which was Tarrant County Junior College.
Oh, wow.
And I guess there was some protests about, I'm not attending a community or junior college, it's a college. So they changed the name to Tarrant County College. And so when I went into college, as soon as I graduated, I wanted to get into radio. I was born with the gift of gab.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one of those things that I told my mom. I remember there was a broadcasting school off of 360, and I want to say Six Flags Drive or Division. And there was a broadcasting school, and I said, you know what, I want to join that school. So I told my mom, hey, I'm going to go to broadcasting school, and I'm going to get into radio. And she looked at me, and she was basically stating, you know what? There's not any money in radio. I'm not sure you are going to make it in doing that. But I suggest that you go to college and figure things out.
Yeah.
So, you know, I never had a chance to actually do radio. And so basically I was in a very long relationship that I recently, a couple years ago, got out of. And when you are kind of by yourself and you're single, you start trying, you have two options. You can really, you know, fall into just dwell on all the negative things going on in your life, or you can really start rebuilding yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And during that time, I really started kind of learning about self-affirmation, started learning more about self-love. and I started learning about how to be selfish. And I had never known how to do that. So I was a person where if someone told me that they needed something or they needed help or what it may be, I was a yes man kind of guy.
Yeah.
And I was just, I'm a giver. So I learned through this transformation that it was okay to say no to people.
Yeah.
And I learned that, you know, in order for me to help others, I need to continue to add fuel into what makes me happy. And so along the way of that transformation, I got invited to go on what back then was, she still has her show, was Bump It Radio at the old Fishbowl Studios on I believe Lamar and 360. So I go on her show. I remember entering the building, first time in a studio setting, and I was just in awe that I was in a studio, that, you know, there was other shows going on. I was literally like, I felt like a freshman in high school. I walked in there and was kind of just, you know, absorbing everything. And then I went on the show to talk about marketing. That's kind of my background of who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did the show. And then Miss Sammy G had a piece of paper that said, hey, if you're ever interested in doing radio, you know, write down your name and number. So I remember writing my name and number down. Nothing happened, I don't think, for a couple of weeks. And out of nowhere, I think she reached out to me. She's like, hey, I'm doing these classes for broadcasting. I can teach you how to do this and that. And all of a sudden, I'm like, if you got a payment plan, sign me up. And so from there, you know, the rest is history. And it's weird because I'll fast forward. So I went through the classes, did everything. And then my first show was supposed to be November like 19th, the week of Thanksgiving of 2020.
Mm-hmm.
So I was supposed to start my show. I was nervous. And then all of a sudden they had a flood that week.
Yep.
And at that location, that same week of my very first show, they had to close down the whole studio. And I just thought to myself, this is just maybe a sign that I shouldn't be doing this. Mm-hmm. I mean, you start thinking of negative things in your mind. And then it went from November, December, January, February, almost 5 months of getting hype, going through the classes, ready to go my first show. And then all of a sudden people asking, hey, I thought you were going to do radio. What happened? And I'm like, there's nowhere for me to do radio. There's no, you know, no show, no place for me to perform. And so I remember, I think it was March 13th of 2021. Actually, that happened in March of 2019. Excuse me. That's what 2019. Fast forward, I started March 20th, 2020. And then, boom, COVID hit.
Yep.
So it was just literally one thing after another. But once we got the ball rolling, I just fell in love with radio. And I had so many ideas and visions and goals of how I wanted my show to be. I still do. There's so many elements to it that I want to add to it. But that's kind of how I started and kind of how I jumped into it. I know that was probably more than you probably were expecting.
No, man. I see, for me, when I started my show, I started this... I started Trenton Chapel Live, like this show, back in senior year of high school. And I started off just wanting to hang out with my friends. Like, hey, let's get on here and rant. You know, that was our big thing. Let's rant. Right. And then all of a sudden, I was like, I want to turn this into something. And I see that with your show. Because, you know, I help on your show a lot. And you've had several amazing guests on the show. Big Gemini was on. You know,
right.
And I want to ask you, like, how does it feel to start off with your show and your dream and seeing it where it's at right now? You know, I know you're not close to being done. You're just the beginning. So how do you feel about your show right now?
Good question. For me, I was speaking to a friend the other day and he's like, man, I'm really happy for all your success.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm so humbled by just the support that I've gotten from family and friends, but it's still taking time for it to develop. But I will say it took a whole year of being consistent on my one show that I was doing. I started off doing just one night of 2 hours, which was just Wednesday night, and doing that consistently where I maybe missed, I would say, one or two shows. And then people started asking, you know, who are you? You know, what exactly is your show about? What are you doing? And it was weird because in the beginning I had trouble getting people to come on my actual show. A year later, fast forward, I've grown a huge audience organically by just really being consistent and letting people know who I was and what I was doing. And now it's like people are reaching out to me saying, hey, I see you have the show. I see what it's involved. It's like I've already answered the questions of who I am or what I'm doing without even speaking. And then now they're, you know, I'm sometimes booked 1 to 2 months out on the shows. And on top of that, one of my goals a year ago when I started was to add a second show. And it was crazy because I spoke that into existence. I knew what I wanted. I said it. I knew when I put a deadline on that specific goal. And then I think it was maybe 2 months ago, I reached out to Sammy again and said, hey, I'm ready. Let's do a second show. And I think maybe I'm a handful of people. You work there, so I don't think there's a lot of people who actually have two shows on there. And so now I'm on every Monday, now I'm on every Wednesday. My goal is to be on them 5 days a week and really, you know, making a difference in the people that I meet and doing all that. But it's like the answer to your question is it's so far from where I want to be, but it's nice to see the evolution of something from nothing to where it's at now. And, you know, I do a lot of self-reflection and just, you know, what I wanted to share with people on this show, and I wanted to make some real clear was I wanted people to know that I'm an innovator. Mm-hmm. I'm a creator. I'm very outside the box. When I've seen anything in life that's been done well, I look at it, I try to tweak it and make it 10 times better.
Yeah.
You know, one of my influencers, honestly, is DJ Khaled. This man is a marketing genius. And he separates himself by repetition and the fact of like, he does the same things over and over, but in different ways where it forces you to suck into him, whether you like him or not. His name became a household name by every record that he's ever done. He started off by saying his name, DJ Khaled. And from there, he went on Snap and became like the most watched Snap person on there because he was on, you know, social media on everything. And on top of all that, he does it with such good energy and good positive vibes that, you know, whether you like him or not, you just happen to laugh at it. And you're like, wow. You're tuned into what he's saying. So he's been a big influencer for me from somebody who's not even in radio. He's a DJ.
I would ask you, since DJ Khaled isn't into radio, is there a radio personality that influenced you?
There is. And it's so funny you asked me that. I was up for a good hour and a half last night until I finally fell asleep. And you'll never guess who that influencer was for me.
I want to say... Is it Howard Stern?
Bingo.
That's my influence.
It really was. And so I was watching some old clips from him last night. He was doing interviews with people from the Friends show after the fact, you know, and they were talking about how they started. One of them, Monica, was on Saturday Night Live. But I was talking to my brother about that, about him today. And I'm like, you know, Howard Stern re-innovated something for somebody where he pushed the limit.
Yep.
And he had, you know, over the top women, men of, and then just of every type of person that you can think of on the show. I mean, he would have so many people from the homeless to people who work anywhere, and he would have them call in. And that's where I got a lot of my ideas from. And I just seen that. And two other people who also influenced me were people from The Breakfast Club.
Oh, yeah. That's so, a good show.
You know, we have Angela Yee, you have Charlamagne, and DJ Envy. And so that trio, I listen to a lot of their shows and I see a lot of their clips. And I pay attention now on how they maneuver their actual shows. So those are, I would say, two types of people who I emulate and I've watched that kind of just, you know, not everybody can watch Howard Stern or a radio show and just stay tuned in for it. And if you do, it's because it's something that interests you and that you're passionate about that you could, you know, simply, you know, try to use that towards, you know, learning whatever you're doing with your niche and your trade.
Yeah, because with Howard Stern, you know, I So with my show, it influenced the new age Howard Stern. You know, there's different ages of Howard Stern. There's this current age, the TV age, and then when he first started age.
For me, it was in the 90s and 2000s. Yeah.
That's the TV age.
The push the buttons.
Yeah, because he was trying to see what he can pull off on TV.
Everything was being censored.
Yep. And, like, I remember watching him. What really got me wanting to interview people like him was he had, I don't care how political views go, he had Hillary Clinton on. And if you have not watched that interview of Howard Stern's, go watch it. It is remarkable how he does it. He gets into, like, he asks about, like, politics and stuff, but he asks about, like, her life and growing up and her father, her Bill, how they met Bill. When was the first kiss with Bill? Like, he, like, got in deep and, like, asked personal questions. And I was like,
intimate with him.
They do. He does. Another influence for me was Kid Craddock. I listened to him every morning going to school until he passed away. But, like, he was another big influence on me wanting to be into radio.
Yeah.
Because everybody listens to 106.1.
They do. For me growing up, it was Nanette in the Morning and with, like, Skip Murphy and people who were on there on the K-104 team that were there for maybe 20 years. And they did such a good job where they did so great with cliffhangers.
Yep.
You know, we'll be right back. Don't hold off. We're going to come right back. And K-104, and then boom, they like leave you hanging where like you didn't even want to get out of your car to
exactly.
go to work, be late.
Exactly.
You know that you were doing something well because they had you so tuned in about what was going to happen next.
Like, I was listening to a show recently on the radio. I was listening to 106.1, and it was the Kid Craddock Morning Show. And one of the hosts was talking about her dating life, and it was so funny. How she's just had so much misfortune happening to her. And it got to a very funny part. And she's like, all right, guys, we'll be right back. And I was like, I have to go in.
Exactly.
But, okay.
I'm gonna miss it.
So I want to ask you, what is your dream guest? Who is your dream guest to have on your show? Oh, yeah.
Very good question. Yeah, I'm just going to go with the first person that literally popped in my head. And why he popped in my head, I know and I don't know why, it's weird. But I'm going to say Sean Puffy Combs.
Okay.
And the reason for that is I love music so much. Like, music is my life. And that's kind of where his life has kind of been, you know, around with, has been music. But if I was to speak to him, he's had a lot of trials and tribulations in his life, even upon recently where his ex-wife, you know, got sick and passed away. And then, you know, obviously you have the whole Biggie years and there's different things, but he is an entrepreneur. Mm. And this man, it seems like anything that he touches turns into gold. And it seems to me that he has a recipe for success. And that's somebody I would like to talk to because he's been through the highs and lows. And obviously we just see the highs, but behind the scenes, you know, there's a lot of work and, you know, mistakes that you have to make along the way in order to get to the point where, you know, it gets easier to eliminate the mistakes that you make and kind of recover from them and move forward.
Yeah. That's a good answer. Because like everybody wants to know the highs and their lows. Everybody sees the highs, you know,
right.
Because of social media now. Like, oh, look, I just bought my new car. Hey. Right. But what people don't really know is I brought my new car and then 5 seconds later got in a crash and no one's going to post that, you
exactly.
know? And so I think my dream guest, there's two answers to this. I've always wanted a paleontologist on the show.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to just ask them about dinosaur questions and have them watch this video about this guy trying to debunk dinosaurs and just see their reaction. And then I think, honestly, my second answer would be Howard Stern. Just so I can, like, tell him, like, listen, because of you, I made this.
And
it just would be an honor to just sit there and tell him that, you know.
And it's crazy because people go through life not knowing how much of a influence they are to, let's just say, regular people like you and me.
Yep.
And through their consistency and their hard work and, you know, not giving up on their dreams, you know, gives people like you and I believe, hope that, you know, whether we reach that level of success or not, at least, you know, we can do, you know, follow the same footsteps as them as well.
Yeah. So you've been doing your show for some time now.
Going on 2 years.
2 years. What has been your favorite moment in the show?
You know, for me, I'm very consistent on how I bring a guest in. Mm. And I'll share a kind of a secret with you that I do. So when I invite a guest, I wait. I'm literally going to show you. Let's share with you some behind the scenes. So if I invite you on my guest, I wait for you, first of all, in the parking lot. Mm-hmm. And this is the same with every single guest. It's weird. I've been doing this since day one. Wait for the parking lot. We meet, we greet, we hug, you know, we shake hands, nice to meet you. And I'm like, have you ever been to the ballpark back in the day? Did you ever come across the Rangers? Almost everyone says, yeah, man. It just starts working that mind of the memories they had either with their family or friends or whoever they came to. And I said, you know, have you been here since? They're like, no. I said, have you been to the new one next door? They're like, no, haven't been to that one yet either. And I'm like, you know, follow me. So we walk in. Immediately, it's this like presidential suite that's right there, you know, that's just very, very, you know, sucks you in. And then you go into an elevator, which to me, it's very VIP.
Yes.
You know, you don't know the level you're going in and everything like that. And then we walk into the studios and they see the bright lights. They see the fishbowl background. And then I immediately give everyone a tour of the place. Hey, this is where our break room is. This is our three studios. This is where I'm going to be at. You know, this is Sammy G. These are all the famous people she's met in her life. She's been doing this for 30 years. And I do that because if I'm going to your house right now, Trent, I would want you to basically give me that tour or give me that welcoming. Hey, Jose, by the way, the restrooms are right here. If you want something to drink, the refrigerator's there. Come check out my pool in the backyard. I'm very old fashioned. So I'm very... You know, where I'm very welcoming. So I want my guests to feel at home when they're with me, because I know when I started my very first show, I was so nervous, and I got there like, you know, 45 minutes or whatever earlier. There wasn't anybody before me. So what I did was I walked out into the balcony. I sat down and I just soaked it all in. Mm-hmm. And it was very just, you know what, you know, thanking God for the opportunity to allow me to finally put, you know, what I had dreamed of all these years together and be able to put a show, whether it was going to be a total mess or whether it was going to be great. But I soaked it all in because it was one of those things that not everybody gets to do what they dream of. And for that, you know, dream to finally come into fruition, because there was so many obstacles beforehand with, you know, the COVID, and then before that with the storm, the flooding at the old studio. And so many obstacles I had to overcome that no one ever sees, no one ever knows, until finally starting my own show, that I was really humble and grateful just for that moment. And I think a lot of times, you know, whether we get a new job or whether we get a new car, a new house, mm-hmm. I think it's good to kind of just sit in that moment before, without any distractions, and just soak it all in, and give your thanks for what you have for the moment, because you and I both know, anything in life, it can be taken away from you at any moment.
Yeah.
You know, especially materialistic things. You can have a car and it could be gone. You can have a house, it could be gone. You know, but, you know, you could have family and they could be gone. So, you know, I'm a big believer of, you know, just living life to the fullest and, you know, living each day like it's my last.
Yeah. So as a fellow broadcaster, we each have that one moment where it was just bad. You know, whether it's a slip up or a mess up or being in a bong and being, you know, what has been like the most embarrassing moment that happened to you on the radio?
Well, the most embarrassing moment was, as you know, because you've been my board operator. Mm. The way my show is set up is we start the show. I introduce myself, introduce my co-host, Nancy Fancy. You know, introduce my guest. We start talking about topics, and then from there we cut to break, and the mics are supposed to be on mute. Well, and there was one situation where, you know, I asked one of my guests, you know, something about their spouse or something like that. You know, what spouse think, you know? And she's like, well, you know, we're not together anymore. And I'm like, whoa, you know, I'm sorry to hear about that. And they're like, no, you know, I'm better off now. And this is now. And I'm like, man, you know, it sucks because, you know, you're doing so well for yourself. And, you know, too bad that you guys couldn't stay together. And, you know, for them to kind of see what you're doing now and how, you know, you're on the radio now and really trying to help yourself. And she's like, well, yeah, you know, but it just wasn't meant to be. I'm better off now and everything like that. And then I'm like, great. And then the board op looks at me, he's like, you know, the countdown. I'm like, great. And then so we go through the show. Nobody is aware of what's going on. Okay. So she's already shared the video, you know, from my Facebook. Her family members are literally at this point inboxing her saying, hey, we just heard everything you guys were saying through the middle of the break. And it was so embarrassing. I was like, because during that moment of we're supposed to be muted, that's kind of a time of privacy to say, hey, how do you feel, you know, have the nervousness gone away, whatever it may be? And they're like, you know, yeah. But for that to go completely live, I was like,
I'm sitting here. You're telling me the story. I was sitting here in my head, like, was I the board op?
Right. And I don't know who it was, but it could have been. I can't think of his name enough. But I just remember, like, moving forward, like, every show, I'm like, are mics muted? And they're like, yeah. I'm like, well, check them.
Check them. Yep. He does.
Because you never know. And for me, you know, but it's happened again. It's happened multiple times where the board op did not mute. And so they're telling me they're on the Facebook Live. I can still hear your conversations. And I'm like, oh, wow.
I think the worst thing I've ever done on your show is that the mics, like, were off.
And I went back on my show, and you're absolutely right. There was almost 2 minutes of absolutely
and I felt,
no voice.
I'll tell you this. As a friend of yours, I felt so bad. I really did. I was like, he
you
hates me.
Nancy, you know, somebody else was like, oh, no. It was just like 20, 30 seconds. But Nancy knows me. Like, I'm really like, at the moment, I'm like, how long was it? She's like, oh, Jose, it was like 20 seconds. You're good. So I get home, and that night or the next day, I'm like, y'all both some good ass liars, because that shit was like 3-4 minutes of nothing. I'm like, you know,
and
I'm
immediately,
like, oh,
immediately after that, I was like, oh, he hates me. He's not coming on the show anymore.
Right. And you know what? It's I've learned to just realize people make mistakes.
Yeah.
I've made mistakes. We're not perfect, you know, and it's just one of those things that, it could always be worse, but I feel bad for the guest.
Yes.
I'm more of the, this isn't about me. This is about them.
That's
this
what I feel bad too. It's like, they're telling their story.
Exactly.
It's very important to them to share.
It is. Absolutely.
And their mics are off. You know,
right.
That's like me going on right now while you're telling your whole thing about your passion, like you're passionate about radio, and I just mute you. I'm like, boring.
Right.
No. But yeah, I'm telling you this live on the air.
Yes.
I'm sorry. So let's talk about your co-host, Nancy Fancy.
Yes, Nancy Fancy.
How long has she been your co-host? Has she been there since the beginning?
You know, I think she's been on there, I want to say, maybe 6 months now. Mm-hmm. I had other women co-hosts. I also had other men co-hosts as well. But I soon realized that I can't always be the funny guy, the one, you know, telling the stories, going to breaks, picking the music. Like, one man can only do so much. And the type of shows that I was doing with entrepreneurs, you know, I wanted to always get a male and female's perspective on everything. So I love the fact that it worked out with Nancy Fancy. You know, she's learning still a lot about it. We recently went to a class with Sammy where we learned how to actually group it. And it's crazy because Nancy is kind of an introvert, but she's learned to become way out of her, come out of her shell, basically.
Yeah.
And now I can't get her to shut up. And I'm literally, you've heard us, I'm like, Okay, that's enough. She goes, you don't tell me to shut up. I'm like, that's enough, Nancy.
But I feel like, honestly, as a person who does a show, I had a co-host at the very beginning. And, you know, with school and everything that happened, we made it best. Like, I'll just do this solo for right now. Because I really wanted my show to be a guest show, like have guests on. But I will tell you this. I've had two different co-hosts. Both, one was male, one was female. The shows that did the best was with the female co-host.
Because
it's a two different viewpoints, one from male, one from female. And we would just start talking about different stuff. And it leads to either A, laughter, or B, hating each other.
Exactly. And it's a good balance. It's a good mix. You know, I hope she stays on long enough where she continue to be with me. It's one of those things that it was always my dream to do radio.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Nancy's in the medical field. This isn't her dream, if that makes sense. And it's hard for me, and I'll share some personal with you. It's hard for me to be patient when other people don't kind of emulate what you want them to be or how you want them to react.
Yeah.
Because again, she tells me, she goes, well, this is your dream. This is what you want to do. And she's 100% right.
Yeah.
The thing about it is that when you have somebody helping you or working with you, you want them to be the best that they can be.
Yeah.
And so that's why, like, even sometimes I remember in school, these teachers would be frustrated and they would tell the students, I'm just frustrated with you because I know that you are better than that.
Yeah.
And if that makes sense. And it's because, you know, I want whoever's around me in my circle, I want them to be the best that they can be. And if you're on my show for those 2 hours, whether this is your dream or not, I want you to perform at 1,000%. Because I want to bring the best out of you, right? Yeah. And so that's kind of what our miscommunication sometimes comes from, because what she may or may not understand is whether it's her or anybody else. If you're on my show, it's not me getting on to you. It's me expecting you to be better than what you're doing, because I just know that you can excel a whole nother level. So I'm almost like a coach, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
In radio, and even I'm a coach, but yet I'm still learning as I'm going, but I'm trying to teach different techniques. And, you know, she'll say, I want to do this, I want to do that. I'm like, it's not that I don't want to do it, but there has to be the right segment. There has to be the right transition. There has to be the right break. You have to come back and get it correctly. There's a system to it.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody who doesn't realize or sees that, they think, well, no, I can just start talking about anything. And I'm like, well, no, we have to stop talking about the subject that we're talking about. Maybe go to break and say, we're going to reintroduce a whole new segment. Then you can start it and then kind of go on from there. So it's a learning process. And I'm going to be honest with you, it's hard working with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what I tell her is that it's still my job. So I'm working and I'm having fun doing it. But when you're with another person, you know, it can definitely become stressful sometimes, because I was talking to Sammy and I'm like, well, Sammy, I'm expecting her to say something at certain points and she doesn't say nothing. She goes, well, Jose, you can't expect her to say something if you haven't practiced before, or if she doesn't know that she needs to say something, how can you expect her to say something, right? Yeah. And so that's really, you know, taught me a lot as well, and different things like that.
Yeah.
But she's been doing amazing.
Yeah. So who is Nancy to you?
So Nancy is my girlfriend.
Okay.
So people have always wondered. It's funny because people flirt with Nancy on social media, people with her in the studio. I've caught Duke winking at her a couple of times. I probably shouldn't have said that on here, but you know,
I'm gonna make fun of her for that now.
You know, I mean, it feels weird because she's bought cookies for Kenneth. I'm not sure what they got going on. You know, there's just all these things going on behind.
I wish I had that. She wants to be off of the show.
Right, exactly. So, you know, it's one of those things that, you know how they say, don't shit where you sleep?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's hard. And that's the truth of it. I never want to sugarcoat anything, because I grade myself. So when the show's over and based on our performance, I've told her straight up, that show sucked.
Do you really?
I'm being honest with you. Yes, absolutely. Wow. Like, that's so tough. I'm like, we could have did so much better. And then I'm like, I didn't even talk about these subjects that we had. I was wanting you to do this part of it. That never happened. So I grade myself and I review my, and I'm very hard on myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I expect excellence. I want the best every single time I go on that field. I want to give it 100%. And yeah, that's how I feel when I'm on the show. So for her, it's like, chill, Jose. It was a good show. And I'm like, good doesn't cut it, you know? And I'm learning to just be more accepting of it, you know? But it's one of those things that it's a learning progress, you know, with everything and everything like that. I don't know how long she'll stay on the show. I don't know if that's something that she wants to continue doing. I love the fact that she's there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fun with somebody there too. And so, you know, that's something that I will just kind of, you know, play out and kind of go from there.
Yeah. So, like, I want to ask you, because you guys are dating, do you feel like with her being your co-host, it's brought your guys' relationship closer?
I separate the two.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she's learning still how to do that.
Yeah.
When I'm on the show, you know, I want it to be about the guest. I don't want it to be about us.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm fall victim to it, and I make it about us, and we talk about us, especially when I'm like starting the show. This is the main thing. I'll say, how was your weekend? And she'll say, well, we went and did this. I'm thinking back in my mind, that's not how I want you to answer it. I want you to answer it as if you're not with me, and just to let the audience, who may or may not know these things, about how your weekend was. If you went on vacation, talk about how great your vacation
was. Yeah.
And that's kind of what I hear in radio. So, like, if Kelly, Big Al, and JC went on a trip, first thing JC says is, hey, Big Al, how was your weekend this weekend? And he's like, man, I just had a blast on that golf tournament this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I got to meet these celebrities. It's never, well, you know what we did. We were together. You see how that makes a big difference.
Yeah.
It's all about how to communicate. And that takes time to learn, you know, to kind of almost speak in third party of, you know, well, I had a great time. You know, we taking the word we out and saying, you know, well, I went to Florida for the first time. And boy, those beaches were just white as can be. And mm-hmm. it was hot. We, you know, I got to see some sharks and got to see some dolphins, and I just had a great time. What about you? And I'm like, you know what? I just kind of relaxed, kind of just had a great time, you know, being away from everybody and everything, you know, because you have to keep your audience and kind of keep them guessing.
Yeah.
You can't give them the whole picture. You can't give them the ending to the story in the beginning of the conversation, right? Yeah. And it's one of those things that I play to that to my advantage, you know what I mean? And stuff like that.
Yeah. So not only are you in a relationship, but you also have kids. You have a son, is that correct?
I actually have two kids.
Okay. Son and another
daughter.
Son? Daughter. Okay.
Yeah, so I have a 19-year-old and a 9-year-old. They're 10 years apart.
19-year-old?
Yes.
What? Which one? Is that the daughter?
Yes.
Wow.
Her name is Soraya.
Wow. How does that feel to have a 19-year-old?
Right now it feels amazing because I'll give you an example. How you raise your kids when they're young will determine how they take care of you when you're older.
Mm-hmm.
If you show them love and affection and you gave them time, that's exactly what they're going to duplicate to you. And it's crazy because I saw that come full circle this past couple of weeks ago for Father's Day. I called her up. She is staying right now in Gainesville with her mother, which is right around, you know, Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's like, hey, you know, name three places you want to go out and eat this weekend. I gave her some ideas. We met up Saturday afternoon. She bought me Father's Day dinner and gave me some gifts and just had a great time. And, you know, it felt good, you know, for my daughter to be able to do that for me, you know, one that she's working, one that she's responsible. And it just shows me that, you know, obviously no matter what, she still loves her dad.
Yeah.
She's still my little girl. And I have to be able to sometimes know how to communicate with her, because I know how I didn't want to be communicated to when I was 18 or 19, because I thought I was grown at that point.
Yeah. I think that, but like,
yeah,
it's hitting me now, like, because I'm 20.
Yeah. Exactly.
I could be your son.
Right. So for me, I have to learn boundaries.
Yeah.
And I have to learn where not to put, you know, my foot at. And there's things I may or may not agree with, but you know what? Like in any relationship, I try to choose the battles wisely.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think you can break a relationship with the kids when they're older a lot faster than you can when they're younger.
Yeah.
When they're younger, they don't have a choice but to love you regardless whether you get onto them or not. When they're adults, they can choose to basically block you out of their life.
Yeah. So your 9-year-old,
yes.
What is he like?
I'll just start off by saying this. When I started finding myself and started loving myself, started learning about self-affirmation,
mm-hmm.
I basically, at the time, he was about, let's say, 4, maybe 5 years old. And I looked at him and I said, you know what you are, son? And he said, what? I said, you are badass. And he just looked at me and gave me this big old smile. And I said, I want you to tell me what you are. And he goes like this. And I said, that's right. And so to this day, 4 years later, if I'm around anybody and he's with me, I'm like, tell Trent what you are, and he'll say, I'm bad.
Yes.
And, you know, and it's something that's resonated between me and him. That's kind of our little, you know, moment and joke that we have, you know, with each other. But I want him to feel confident in himself, yeah. You know. I want him to feel that he can do anything. And my mom's like, can't you find another word to say? That's a bad word. It's inappropriate and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, you know, I'm like, yeah, I probably can this and that. But I want him to feel like he's badass and that he can do whatever he wants to do.
That's right.
So he's my best friend. He's my little buddy. We do everything together. I'm one of those dads that I'm very involved with my kids' life. And I love being a dad. You know, I always say there's this hashtag on Instagram that I follow with this guy, but he says, hashtag fatherhood is lit. And it's one of those things that, you know, it's just they're still growing and they grow up so fast that, you know, you need to take advantage of them, you know, while they're here. You know, and you see and hear so many children pass away, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm one of those people, again, that I don't want to have any regrets. I don't want to be that father. I had an absent father. So mm-hmm. my absent father made me break the cycle of not doing the same thing to my son that was done to me. So therefore, you know, I've learned the older I've gotten, the older he's getting, I need to be at his football games. I need to be at his basketball games. I need to be cheering him on. I need to be rewarding him afterwards, even if they lost the game, and say, hey, bud, good job just going out there and trying and giving a good effort. So we have a really – my relationship with my kids is amazing.
Yeah.
And I'm the funny dad.
Yeah.
And, you know, I always compare myself to Kevin Hart. Like, I'm just as goofy as Kevin Hart. And I love Kevin because we're a lot alike. Not only are we short, but we're funny. And we just, you know, I know he loves his kids as much as I do.
Yeah, I watched an interview with him and Will Smith. Will Smith did a interview with him and Kevin Hart.
Red Table. I missed it. How was it?
It was great. Kevin Hart pretty much just said, like, he goes, Will Smith goes, what kind of dad are you? And he's like, I'm the activities dad. All right. And Will Smith goes, well, I'm the project dad. You know, Jada can be, you know, all this stuff. But like, when there's a school project, I'm on it. And then Kevin Hart goes, hell no. It's school. Yeah. I'm out. He goes, we can go play football. We can go swimming.
Yeah.
We're going to go have fun.
Yeah. Not going to Hobby Lobby and then putting it together. I'm the same way.
Yeah, because like he, it was such a great interview. I recommend it. They talk about fatherhood and like their lives.
Have you seen that movie?
The Fatherhood movie? I have not. I want to.
Whether you have kids or not, I mean, It's just a very well put story. It's a great movie.
It's based on a true story, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Wow.
So you can watch it. It's good.
So Jose, this part of the show is called the Poddex round. Let me tell you about Poddex real quick. Poddex.
Can you spell that for me, please?
Yes, of course. It's P O D D E C K S. Poddex. They are deck of cards. Look at that.
I like that. I'm thinking it's going to be a magic trick or something.
It's like pick a card, any card. No, Poddex are these deck of cards that you can use to help podcasters, radio show hosts, conferences get to know each other more. I have the interview deck right here that we're going to be using tonight. We have the episode deck, the would you rather, the what the heck deck.
Where do you buy those at? Because I need those.
Poddex.com. Go there, pick out what you want, and then guess what? Ready for this, Jose? When you get the checkout, go to the promo code section, put TCLIVE to get 10% off your first purchase.
I like that.
Oh, yeah. 10% off. You're saving money. All right, guys. It is worth it. I've been using these for my show ever since, and they really help me out, especially when you run out of questions.
Right, exactly.
So, guys, again, go to poddex.com, use the promo code TCLIVE, that's TC Live, at checkout to get 10% off your first purchase. All right, Jose, are you ready for some of these questions?
Are you ready? Yes, I'm ready.
Or should I? You should actually be saying ya tu sabes, because I already know.
Ya tu sabes, trenten.
All right. This is a good question. What are you most excited about right now? Oh, yeah. These go deep, man. What are you excited about right now?
Well, the first thing is I'm excited for 4th of July.
Yes.
And that's this Saturday. We have a family tradition that we go to my Uncle Joe's house out in Midlothian. Whole family comes out. He spends crazy money on fireworks. It's me and my sons are like almost favorite holiday of the year. And I love popping fireworks. He loves popping fireworks, but it's food, it's family, it's freedom. And it's a great time that we just kind of look forward to every single year. So I'm really excited right now about this Saturday night, popping fireworks and being with family and drinking beer and eating fajitas.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah. That sounds like fun. I don't even know what I'm doing for 4th of July. I'm probably just going to sit at home and cry. I don't know.
No, there's tons of activity you need to be out and about.
Yeah, I'll figure something out. What is the worst job you've ever had?
That's easy. I remember being 19, and for whatever reason, I was in a situation where I needed a job. Yeah. So I remember I was living in Midlothian, and I applied. I went online and started looking for a job, and there was Toys R Us who was hiring.
I already know about this.
So this was a warehouse that Toys R Us had in Midlothian. And my job was to fill 52-foot trailers with toys from bottom to top. And I basically had to like do Tetris with the toys. So that way they were packed from the back all the way to the front. Now, on top of all this, this is a summer job. So not only is the factory hot, but inside these 18-wheeler trailers, it's over 100 degrees. I lost so much weight that summer. I lasted maybe 3 months, and it was my only factory job, my only time I ever did like a warehouse job. And I'm glad it happened to me at a very young age, because it taught me to bust my ass and to never put myself in a situation where I had to basically get paid like $8 an hour to load toys from Toys R Us all the way from, and I'm gonna be honest with you, let's just say that the trailer was supposed to hold, let's say, 50,000 toys. I promise you, I probably loaded maybe 15,000. I sucked at like building like blocks and putting them together. So like, it got to the point. What I did was I put up a whole level and I started throwing the toys over.
That's funny.
Like
they fell over.
Exactly. So that was the absolute worst job ever.
Wow. Yeah. I think my worst job ever, I worked there for 2 weeks. 2 weeks. It was at a pizza place, and I hated it. I hated the job. Like, I would make
Jim's.
No, it was Marco's.
Marco's pizza.
Yeah, I'll never get their sponsor. What?
Is their pizza good? I've always seen them, but I never ate them.
I mean, I personally don't eat them anymore because I work for them and I don't want to give them money. Yeah. But when I got free pizza, yeah, they were all right.
Yeah.
Their cinnamon, like, breadstick things are to die for.
Are they better than CC's?
No. CC's is always going to win.
Hands down, the best.
Hands down. With the brownies and the cinnamon rolls. Yes. Oh,
everything.
I went there last night and I ate them.
Did you really?
Yes. I was with a friend. And I was like, let's go to CC's. I haven't been there in a while. We ate.
It's just so cheap and easy.
Right? You get all this
just
pizza.
Like a prostitute.
Pasta's great. The salad.
Oh, it's like a prostitute. Just cheap and easy.
Oh, it's a pizza prostitute. That's
exactly.
Funny. All right. Besides radio, if you could instantly become an expert in any field, what would it be and why?
I would say a race car driver.
Really?
I've always been infatuated with Fast and the Furious. I was one of those guys in the 90s that I was in the import scene and I had all these, you know, Accords and Integras, and we would soup them up completely from the wheels, dropping them, paint jobs, the exhaust, the filters, everything. I was that kid and I was that guy. And then as I got older, I went to one NASCAR race with my uncle.
Mm-hmm.
And it was funny because I felt like I was the only Mexican guy around, like, all these white people. Like, white people love them some NASCAR.
Yeah, we do.
Have you ever been? It's literally like Ricky Bobby Talladega Night.
Oh, yeah. So like, Ricky Bobby!
I stood out like a sore thumb. But when I went, I was just like amazed. I had such a good time. And I always said, you know what? I would love to drive like at 200 some miles per hour because I think I consider myself a good driver. You ask Nancy Fancy if I'm a good driver, she would say hell no, because she holds on to the...
I've heard the stories of what you do. You have...
She holds on to the oh shit handle. You know what the oh shit handle is?
No, is it the...
It's the one right there. That's called the oh shit, I'm about to rape somebody.
Yep.
So, I always wanted to do NASCAR, man. That was something that I love. I love racing, like, and it started at a very young age from riding go-karts at a local go-kart place where... I imagined myself always wanted to be first. Like, always, you know, if you're not first, you're last.
That's right.
And so I would say immediately it would be racing.
Racing. Oh, wow. That's interesting. I think for me, I don't know. I'm an expert in pretty much everything. But this next question, this one is deep and this one is scary. What way do you want to go out? How do you want to die?
In my sleep.
In your sleep.
Yeah, I wanna die peacefully. I wanna die where, yeah, I definitely am asleep. Where, you know, I wake up and God's taking me to heaven.
That's right.
In my peep days. And I found a very interesting fact that was given to me by Nancy Fancy that she said that when you die, whatever outfit you're wearing is the one that you go to heaven in.
Oh, man, I got to figure out what I'm going to wear if I die.
Right.
I got to wear something nice.
Right. So, yeah, I want to die in my sleep.
I'd probably say gun blazing, being a hero. Just like, you know what? I want to save the princess and then... And then just
go out with a bang.
Go out with a bang, man. That's how I want to go. What form of technology do you wish existed right now?
I would say hovercraft, like being able to, you know, being able to, let's say, like, you know, being and like just basically like the Jetsons. You may be young for the Jetsons.
I know the Jetsons.
Yeah,
I'm not that young.
So for me, it would be getting into one of those aircrafts and being able to go like from here in Dallas where I live at, to let's say to where you live at, it, let's say in Mansfield, and be there and. In 10 minutes and not have to worry about traffic. So that's something I wish and I thought we'd have by now, but we don't.
They're working on it.
I'm not sure how they would direct traffic, but yeah.
There would be any traffic. We'll just maneuver out of the way.
Yeah.
I would say a phone that never dies.
Mm. Boy, yeah. Wouldn't
that be just awesome? Just like, oh, I'm at 1%. Psych.
Yeah.
All right. What would be your best day ever?
I believe I've had a few of those already, but really just spending time with my kids, and just kind of, you know, whether you're on the beach or wherever you're at, just kind of being together, or, you know, not just necessarily just my kids, but, you know, my family. I'm a big, big family guy. So, being around cousins, uncles, aunts, and everybody, and just kind of seeing everyone, you know, laugh and kind of be together. That's why Easter is one of my favorite holidays, and Christmas and Thanksgiving, just because that's when everyone's kind of, you know, brought together in unity. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, for me, the perfect day would be being with my whole family and just, you know, uniting and everyone just being happy.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that. My best day ever was just if it's me at home sleeping, because I don't get enough of that anymore.
You're wasting time when you sleep, like they say.
Oh, I don't care.
Sleep when you die.
Ah, shut up. So we're down to our final five questions. All right. Remember, these are deck of cards. We still have a whole bunch in here that we have not asked, but if you guys want to see what these questions are like.
The only thing I'm going to ask you is one thing. Don't ask me to hold your deck.
You got it. Oh, my gosh.
Don't you want to ever hear that again?
Yeah.
Bless you. That was a good one. Right?
That was a good one.
Just don't ask me. And you know what? You know, I can't be responsible for what I'm saying, and that's due to my friend here, Corona.
My friend. Which Corona? The good one or the bad one?
Corona. That Corona.
All right.
Ya tú sabes.
All right. Down to our final five questions. Right. Again, poddex.com, promo code TCLIVE at checkout. All right. What is your favorite thing you have bought this year?
It was my Ya tú sabes sign. I'm not you see it right there. That's the one that I recently saved up and purchased and bought. It was something that I wanted to add to my show.
Mm-hmm.
I think it adds kind of a different taste. It just adds flavor to it. Is what I wanted to say. You know, and again, that's me being innovative. That's me being creative. That's me putting these ideas that I have in my head and sharing them with people who can put that kind of stuff together and making my vision come to life.
Yeah.
So whenever I had the idea, and the other part was finding the people to actually do it.
Yeah.
And so the great thing about Facebook is there's so many talented people out there and so many resources that there's somebody out there who can do whatever you basically want. Now, there's going to be a price for it.
Of course.
But anything can be made, you know, and that's what's great about it. And so, again, I don't know anybody on Visual Radio who has one, but I always want to be a trendsetter, you know, that's just me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, part of my doing this is for somebody to come back behind me, and I'll talk about that right before the show ends, but to be able to kind of emulate the system and ideas that I put in place. And because if I see you do that, man, that makes me happy in the fact of, hey, whatever I did, someone else wanted.
What are you talking about? We have a sign right there. It's a neon.
The neon light. I like that. So, you know, things of that sort. So,
yeah. What we're working on for my show is we're getting a studio next season. That's a big announcement, guys. We're getting a studio where I want to get off Zoom. We did Zoom because of COVID. And one thing that we're going to be having in the studio is I've always wanted one of those small CRT TVs, like a 14-inch one.
Right.
That had like the VHS built into it. And I just want my logo to be bouncing off like the DVD thing, you know?
Right.
I've always want my logo just be bouncing off in the background. Or that and a cardboard cutout myself.
Yes.
That's what I want.
Right. That just says that you're badass.
That's right. And then I'll have a guest sign it.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Four questions left. Are you nervous?
Ready.
All right. What is something you like, but most people don't? Oh, yeah. What is something you like that most people don't? Who's laughing back there?
That's, I don't know, but I heard it just pay no attention to that. I have a dog here, and it likes to talk and bark every day.
Gotcha.
Ask me the question one more time.
What is something you like that most people don't? Oh, yeah. This is a hard one.
I want to say hyper.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm all over the place. And so I will say this. When you meet me, you either love me or you hate me. And a lot of people that I've met, luckily, I've become, like, best friends with them instantly because we're opposites, especially with guys. And it's weird. The guys that I end up being best friends with are ones that are just very quiet, total opposite of me.
Yeah.
And they just think I'm the funniest guy in the world. So they're like, I'm their amusement. And they like hanging out with me for like that reason. And I love being around them because they're laughing at all my jokes. And I think that's what it is. I think it's my, some people don't like that. Cause I don't know how to turn down the dial sometimes.
Yeah.
But it's because, you know, I like being happy. I like to be obnoxious. I like to, you know, say stuff that's unscripted and that's out there because, again, I want to be different. I don't want to be like everyone else.
Yeah. I'm the exact same way. I might not show it at work because I'm trying to be professional.
Right.
But when I'm Sammy's watching it. She's like, oh, really now?
Right.
But no, when I'm out with friends, I'm off the walls. I'm Mr. Party. That's who I am.
Yeah.
I'm never the one that.
Center of attention.
That's center of attention. I'm Trenton Chapel and Live, people.
Nancy hates that. Perfect example. Something that I like that if someone else hates, she hates that. I'll drink to that. You know.
All right, we got three more questions. Here we go. Number three.
Good questions so far, by the way.
I know. Poddex.com.
Yeah. Can't wait to get my hands on that deck.
Yeah.
Oh. Wait.
Oh. Ya tú sabes, Jose.
Ya tú sabes, Trenton.
Trenton.
That's all right. Spanish Trenton, FYI.
Yeah, Trenton is Spanish for Trenton.
Right. Ya tú sabes, Trenton.
Number three. What are you currently curious about?
Something I want to educate myself more on is I'm curious about stocks. I always wanted to educate myself and learn more about it. I think there's a lot of young millionaires out there and I want to be one of them.
Yeah.
And I'm very strategic and I understand, you know, different systems. So I think if I was taught by a good teacher, I could be really good.
Yeah.
But I will tell you the main reason why I would fail at stocks. I wouldn't know when to pull out.
Oh my gosh. All right. Ya tú sabes, Jose.
Ya tú sabes, Trenton. I'll drink to that.
Drink to that. How many beers have you had tonight?
Don't worry about it. It's beer 30.
All right. Number two, this is a good question. If you had $100,000 right now, all right, but you had to donate all of it to a charity or make your own charity, what charity would it be?
Immediately, I would say, and I'll share some personal with you, but the charity that I would give it to would be Texas Scottish Rite Hospital.
Okay.
Yep.
What do they do?
So I was born with club feet.
Okay.
Do you know what that is?
I do not.
So when you're born, one of your feet can be turned in.
Oh.
So what that hospital did was they basically broke my foot, put a cast on it, and they fixed it so it's straight, did surgery on it, and allowed me to basically walk normal for the rest of my life. So
wow.
It's not as normal now, but I think when a child is maybe reached a little bit longer in a woman's stomach and they continue to grow and they're not probably bigger than what the stomach can hold, then there's no more room. So your body naturally starts going in. So I think that's basically what happened. I don't really know, but I'm so thankful for them, because had I not had that surgery done when I was literally born, then, you know, I would have trouble walking for the rest of my life. So, you know, I think that's one charity that I would give to, because there's so many, they deal with prosthetics. So it's not just for feet, it's hands, kids who are, you know, maybe have a hand amputated, they build hands for them with like the hooks and fake hands, and give them, you know, fake legs. And so it has to do a lot with prosthetics, but it's only for children. And it's the way they survive and are able to do this are total donations.
Yeah.
So it runs totally off that. And, you know, I don't think any child should have to go through life without an arm or a leg or anything like that.
Yeah, yeah. I would say for me, it would either A, be Cook's Children's. You know, a child should not have to deal with cancer. No one should have to deal with cancer.
That would, and I didn't think about that, but that'd probably be the why next one is cancer.
Yeah. No one should have to deal with that. And
man, when those commercials come on TV, Trent, I don't know about you, I'm like tearing up just watching.
You know what other one that gets me is the one about like pets.
Oh, I can't watch that.
I can't watch it either. I can't.
So you're right. There's two things in life. Like I can't, like, if you notice, they took it away, but when Facebook kind of first started, they used to show videos of people like doing harm to animals. And it was horrible. And man, I don't have the heart for it, because I'm just, it's two things. It's kids and animals. If you hurt them, it bothers me inside.
You know what I saw yesterday? This is a true story. I'll tell you this story real quick. Yesterday, I was with my friend and we were heading over to Target and go hang out and do stuff. And while we were driving there, all right, there's a car parked in the middle of the street. And mind you, it's like a street like this, and there's woods on the side.
Right.
I'm driving. He's parked. He has the door open. A dog runs out. They close the door and immediately drive off. Now, I'm sitting here like, did they just abandon that dog?
Yeah.
And like, I would have, like, every inch of me wanted to stop and pick up the dog. Sadly, I don't know where the dog went. The dog ran right into the woods. And like, if I was like, I'll get that thing home if you couldn't do it. Like, right. That's just terrible. And the fact that I saw that was terrible.
It messes with you.
I'm like, wow, there's evil people out there.
And it's sad. And, you know, kudos to the people that I see all the time on Facebook, the opposite, where they say, hey, this, I have this dog. I can no longer take care of it. Does anyone open their house to it? Do you see that a lot too?
Yeah.
And it's almost immediately people are like, oh, you know, and these are great dogs, but they just don't have the space, or they're moving and other families take over and, you know, it ends up working for them.
Yeah. My German Shepherd, Layla, that's what we did. A lady found her like wandering the streets and the lady couldn't take care of it because she didn't have any room. So we took her in. And she's the happiest little dog now because she's spoiled and every way. But yeah, I have a cat that I got because a lady was moving and I was like, I'll take it. Her name is Eva. She's an ass.
Wow.
But yeah,
well, that's my mother's name, so be careful.
No, I'm not saying Eva's an ass. I'm not saying the name's an ass. I'm talking about the cat. Your mother's a very lovely lady.
She's so sweet.
So our final question of the night, again, poddex.com, use promo code TCLIVE to get 10% off your first purchase. The final question is, it's actually two questions.
Okay.
Who is your favorite fictional hero, and who is your real life hero?
Fictional hero? Like, as in maybe like...
like Marvel, DC type of thing.
I'm not a big Marvel or... what's the other one called? Marvel and
DC.
DC. I'm not really them.
Are you a human?
I am human. The first fictional one that I grew up with and just fell in love with my whole life was literally just the Ninja Turtles.
Okay, I grew up with them too.
They're like my fictional superheroes. Like, I just love the Ninja Turtles.
I'll take that. That's I grew up watching those.
Yeah. Turtles in a Half Shell.
Turtle Power. Yeah, I agree with that. And who is your real life hero?
I mean, I at the end of the day, it's my mom. Mm-hmm. She has endured so much in life. Shout out to, you know, Eva Huerta Velasquez.
Shout out Mama Yatu Sabes.
Yes, Mama Yatu Sabes. She's a very loving, patient woman. She'll open the doors for anybody for you. She will give you her last dollar. She will, most importantly, she'll pray for you. Mm-hmm. But, you know, she's gone through a lot in her life as far as just being the oldest of, like, seven kids. She was the only daughter of, like, and then had six brothers, I believe. Six or seven brothers that she had to raise.
Yeah.
So she had to sacrifice a lot of her life and take care of them. And then to one point being a single mom with three kids. And then just, you know, trying to find her way through life. And I think she had some, you know, role models in her life or some other influential people, she could have just done some amazing things, which I look up to her now because her and my stepdad, they're close to retirement. They've owned their own business for, I don't know how, over 20 years.
Wow.
And just, you know, ran a very successful business. And you know, they're looking at retirement now. They're looking at being able to travel more and do things with their own life. And so, you know, she's probably the most influential person that just kind of really just has always kept me going, kept me humble, has been my number one fan through all this. And, you know, it's crazy because no matter how old your kids get, they're still like your babies. And it's weird because my brothers and sisters always tease me that I'm still her favorite and this and that. And it's just because, you know, we have a really close relationship. So, yeah, okay. I would definitely say her.
That's a good answer. Good answer. You know, my real life hero is also my mom. You know,
yeah.
I grew up same as you, an absent father. Mm-hmm. And she, one point in her life, was working three jobs to pay for an apartment and me. And she's a fighter. She's a warrior. I've always told her that. And even though she can annoy the hell out of me, I love her to death. And
what month was she born in?
October.
Okay. My mom's January. Nah. She's in a quirk. January 27th.
What's October? Like
Libra, maybe?
I think she might be a Libra. I'm a Sagittarius, and I'm like, eh.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm like, I'm here to get fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, my mom is my hero. I always say that.
Because, I mean, they just, you know, yeah, they just did so much, you know. Yeah. And, you know, it gives me the will to, like, just not give up in life, because she could have easily given up, and she may or may not have, but she did a damn good job, like, raising three kids by herself and making sure we all graduated high school and did something with our lives.
Yeah. Well, Jose, it's time of the show where everybody hates. It's the end. Yeah. I want to thank you for coming on.
Yeah.
Giving me your time for the show. Again, where can they all find you? Social media, your show, where can they find you?
Instagram on Yatu Sabes Radio. You can find me on Facebook at Jose Huerta, H-U-E-R-T-A. And then, you know, FBRN.us, look up Yatu Sabes. My show really consists of having entrepreneurs, community leaders, artists, anybody here from any walks of life, to be able to come on the show, let people know who they are, what they're doing, and just be able to, you know, get exposure. And I'm one of those people that I teach marketing. So if you ever need any type of marketing for your business, want to get some different ideas and brainstorm, you know, you can always call me at 214-562-7755. We could do something. But yeah, it was a pleasure being on your show. I didn't know what to expect. Man, I'm going to be honest with you. You had some amazing questions.
Thank you.
The show went really, really well.
Yeah.
Oh, I want to say, you know, great job on putting together a great show with great questions. It's always unusual because I'm never on the other side of the table.
I'm the same way. I'm usually the interviewer, not the interviewee.
Exactly. So, you know, it feels good to share with people, you know, who I am and see my funny side and my real life, you know, like that.
Yeah, well, thank you again for coming on. Shout out to you. Shout out to Nancy Fancy, wherever she's at.
Nancy Fancy, she's in the kitchen where she belongs. What are you talking about? First of all, what are you doing out of the kitchen, woman?
That was fun. I was not expecting that. That was funny. I was not expecting that. Well, again, thank you again, guys. Check out Yathu Sabe on FBRN.us. Monday, Wednesdays, 9 to 11. Good show. Good show.
Absolutely. Yathu Sabes, Trenten.
Yathu Sabes, Jose. Yes. All right, guys. We're heading out. Peace.
Peace.